Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the injury to Daniel Jones and the improvement of Shedeur Sanders. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to week 14 on the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Lots to go over this week. Lots of headlines, lots of great games, lots of interesting outcomes to go over. But first, our weekly check-in. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. Every day it's better. I'm closer every day to my vacation. Yep. I am off for 3 weeks. I'm ready mentally.
I can't even fathom that, a three-week vacation.
Well, I'm about to live it. Yeah. it's going to be very joyous.
Good. You know? Well, awesome.
Yeah, I'll see you out there.
Yeah, yeah. We're both Jeff's going to Arizona for 3 weeks. We're going for 1 week for the week of Christmas. So We will meet up there, watch some football. Actually, ironically enough, the week that we're there, the Jets and Saints play each other.
That's fate, right there.
It is. That it is really is. Fate. So
worst game of all.
Before the schedule came out, we talked about going to New Orleans for the game. This is the next best thing.
Yeah.
So we will be together the Sunday before Christmas, actually, in Arizona with my dad, Of course, watching the game. That's going to be a high-impact game as far as the draft order is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. We're both, what, 3-11 now?
High stakes. Jets are 3-10.
3-10.
Yeah.
We're both 3-10. Yep.
But, all right, let's jump into it. I'm going to kick it off this week.
Perfect.
I think the story of the week for me, and I feel so bad for this player and this team, is Daniel Jones and his injury with the Colts. So you got to give him a lot of credit. You also got to kind of question the training staff and the coach and everybody who thought it was okay to put him out there. Maybe one didn't have anything to do with the other, but for those who are playing catch up, Jones has been playing the last several weeks with a fracture in his left, what is it, fibula?
Fibula.
So basically a fracture in his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been gutting it out, playing. I mean, really no signs of an injury that I saw. Like, you never saw clips of him hobbling or anything. Still taking off and scrambling. And then yesterday he came up, he was, you know, dropped back to throw, and literally, like, as he threw it, just fell. And his right leg kind of went limp. And, you know, he did the thing that guys always do. He looks back at his looks back at his foot and grabs that specific spot in his Achilles. And I mean, you just knew right away that he knew right away that he was done.
Damn.
You could see the emotion slamming the helmet. And so, you know, they confirmed today torn Achilles. And so he's going to be out, you know, obviously for the rest of this year. The timeline I keep seeing for him potentially coming back next year is, you know, sometime in November ish. So, I mean, it couldn't be a worse scenario for him, and it couldn't be a worse scenario for the Colts.
Yeah.
So, you know, Daniel Jones is a free agent. He signed a 1-year deal with the Colts. You know, are they going to want to sign him knowing he's not going to be good till November?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Right. And then from the Colts perspective, they just leveraged their future, really, by trading for Sauce Gardner, giving up their next two first round picks. So now they can't even go explore a quarterback because they don't have a first round pick.
Right.
For the next 2 years. And everybody said, like, when they did that, okay, this is a sign that they're all in on Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, what do you do if you're the Colts? I feel like they could not be in a worse spot, not only for this year, because they're already spiraling. Mm-hmm. They've lost 4 or 5. I'll read off their remaining schedule in a bit. It's absolutely brutal. And then now, you know, from Jones, like, what do you do, man? Is anybody going to want to sign him? It's almost like you have to sign him to a 2-year deal knowing that next year's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what teams are going to want to do that. And I feel like it went from being an absolute sure thing that he was going to get a big money extension in Indy to now, I mean, the future could not be more up in the air for the Colts and for him.
Yeah. Yeah. In Daniel Jones' perspective, this is the worst timing possible. You're having a career year. You finally found a system that works for you. A head coach that's building the system around you, a running back like Jonathan Taylor, and an offensive line that the Colts have. You know, all the pieces were there for Daniel Jones to succeed. obviously this is something free. It's one of those non-contact injuries where, you know, no one's at fault. There's nothing really specifically in the play that you can change. I mean, did that fractured fibula hamper a little, put a little bit extra pressure on that other leg that he tore his Achilles? Maybe, perhaps. I mean, what the extent of that fracture, who knows what it was, to be honest with you. But, I mean, Daniel Jones has proven himself this year to me that he's a warrior. He's going out there for his team. And I'm pretty sure Indy wanted to sign him long term. I agree with that 100%. All signs pointed to that. I mean, you're probably, if you're Indy, you're probably gonna have to take a stab in the dark and try to sign another 1 year bargain bin sort of a free agent quarterback at this point. As you said, their next two first round picks are belonging to the Jets. So I think it's going to be kind of like a bridge gap when you do sign Daniel Jones to a 2 year deal just to see what he's going to respond to in 27. It's a terrible situation all around because Indy looked like they were actually piecing it together with Shane Steichen and that entire offense.
I mean, in the first half of the season, he was my coach of the year.
Yeah.
And now I even heard today people saying, like, if they lose, let's just say they lose out and they finish losing, you know, 8 of 9 or whatever it is yeah. Steichen and the GM, are they back next year? So it's like a complete collapse.
Yeah, it's 180.
It's completely.
And to me, they for sure do. I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt with the start they've had. But yeah, everything just seems to have fallen apart all around them, and it's falling down quick. But yeah, Daniel Jones, I feel like, is the man for the job for Shane Steichen. I feel like they're going to be a tag team for a while. It's just going to be see how Daniel Jones responds from that injury. That obviously, losing your Achilles and having that repaired, you don't ever really come back the same. Daniel Jones, thankfully, is more of a pocket passer than I would probably, you know, think of him as a runner, even though he does have some wheels on him. You know, that's for sure. He'll definitely take off from the pocket and make some runs. But to me, Daniel Jones has always been that pocket passer, especially this year with Indy. So to me, I still think they're a match. I'm not sure if there's going to be any other team who's going to like offer them a multi-year contract, to be honest with you. I'd be very surprised. And if it is a multi-year contract, I don't think it's going to have the value that maybe Indy's going to offer them. So there's that sort of leverage there. To me, it's just bad timing, just bad peripherals all around. But to me, I still think you stick with the plan of Daniel Jones being your quarterback end of next year and see what how he looks in 27. But I think someone like Jameis Winston,
Mac Jones,
someone just a 1 year stopgap.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's like a backup QB who's responded this year with some good games. I think that's who you're looking for if you're Indy.
Yeah, and I think if you're Jones and Indy, you kind of got to compromise with each other a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Jones has to understand that if he wants, because here's what I could see happening. I could see them giving him that 3-4-5 year deal, but having it heavily backloaded.
Yeah.
To where like next year maybe he's making, call it $5 million. You know, but then when he's healthy, he's making the, you know, 15-20. Like I think this year he's making $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe the, you know, years 2 through 4 or whatever, you get close to that number or over that number, who knows? But next year, you know, you just kinda have to be willing to hey, you're getting paid, you're on a team, but you're not gonna be making a ton of money.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of like incentive lace deals. I feel like floating around on that one. And honestly, I feel like Indy's gonna be the number one team that's gonna offer them any sort of compensation.
I agree. As far as this year, man, like, so their last 4 games.
Yeah, wrap it up.
At Seattle,
oof.
49ers,
oh.
Jags, Texans. It's brutal. Oh. They literally could lose the next 4 games. So obviously, no Daniel Jones. They got no Anthony Richardson. He's on IR with an orbital bone fracture, which I didn't realize it was a full season injury when it happened. Mm. But apparently, dude can't see, you can't play football. So, and then Riley Leonard, who came in yesterday, and actually, you know, he didn't light the world on fire, but he was okay.
Yeah, he doesn't look overwhelmed.
Correct. He reported a knee injury to the trainers today.
Yeah.
So now he's questionable with a knee injury. And literally an hour before we started recording, Adam Schefter came on ESPN and said that they're working out Philip Rivers.
44-year-old.
Unbelievable.
Philip Rivers.
I mean, that's desperate times.
Yeah.
So the Colts are in a bad way right now. I do not envy them. You know, you go from being 8-1 and you know, I have coworkers that are diehard Colts fans that were talking about getting the number one seed.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be lucky to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's a rough deal. As a Jet fan, I by no means am happy ever when anybody gets injured or, you know, is out for the season or whatever.
Right.
But now, as of right now, they have two picks in the top 18, and that probably is only going to get better as they more than likely continue to lose.
Yeah, 8-9, 9-8, that's probably like a top 13 pick right there.
So it's getting better and better as a Jet fan. Again, didn't want that for Jones, was never rooting for anybody to get injured, but it's starting to shape up even better than what we expected, because I expected that pick to be like 25-30.
Yeah,
based on where they were when they made the trade.
When they made the trade, guaranteed playoffs position at that point.
It's it could get really good from a Jet perspective. So
right,
we'll see what happens there. Bad week for Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and then my next one is the Bills, Buffalo Bills. I feel like, this may be dramatic to say, but I feel like they kind of saved their season yesterday.
Mm.
So they were, you know, had a phenomenal game against the Bengals, probably game of the day. You could say that, or Bears Packers was good as well. But, you know, it was a snowy, typical Buffalo game. Awesome to watch. And the Bills were down 28-18 with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And to be honest with you, I felt like it wasn't even that close watching the game. I had it split screen. I had that game on, and then I had the Jets watching them get worked. And so, to me, not listening to the game and only watching and seeing what was happening, it felt like the Bengals were completely dominating them. Joe Burrow looked completely in control. Some of the throws he was making were absolutely phenomenal. And then I feel like it really flipped on Josh Allen's 40-yard touchdown. Yeah. I feel like when they pulled to within three, it was like, okay, we still have a chance. And then Christian Benford made that amazing play where he basically jumped up and snagged a screen pass out of the air and ran it back for a touchdown, 63-yard touchdown. And it was game on from there. But I really feel like Buffalo legitimately, I feel like, saved their season, because they are coming off a very lackluster performance against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they beat them, but both teams looked like hot garbage.
Especially in the first half.
Oh, my God. It was the ugliest football game I've watched in a long time.
Yeah.
And so you're coming off of that where, yeah, you got the win, but nobody was impressed with what they saw.
Right.
And then, you know, snowy conditions, you know, didn't look good. And then Josh Allen literally, I feel like, put on a Superman cape.
Yeah.
And did what he does and literally took over that game. And ended up with an amazing stat line. And like I said, in my opinion, that 40-yard touchdown really energized the fans, energized the team, let them know that they still have a legit chance in the game. And then obviously Benford did what he did.
Yeah, this was MVP Josh Allen that showed up in this game again. I mean, it's absolutely brutal for the Bengals to lose this game, because they were basically in a win-out scenario where if they were going to win their division or make the playoffs, they needed to win out. Right now, they're 4-9 going to 8-9. Their best-key scenario is 8-9. That's going to be rough. But to me, it was the perfect scenario for the Bills because of that defense that the Bengals have. They are very susceptible to superheroes, superstars making superstar plays. And Josh Allen just happened to make superstar plays when he needed to. As you mentioned, the 40-yard scamper. And then Joe Burrow, I mean, he did everything he could do from a Bengals perspective to throw the rock around T. Higgins, making one-handed snags all over the place. It was everything the Bengals wanted, and then all of a sudden it just got away from him in the fourth quarter, unfortunately. But yeah, the Bills, I mean, to have any shot at the division, yes, they needed this game. For playoff seeding, I mean, there's a lot of teams there in the hunt in the AFC. There's a lot of mix there. But and this definitely helps them. I think they're, what, the fifth seed right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fifth seed. Yeah. Top wild card team. Yep. I mean, for me, the Bills, I wouldn't say it was a must win for them to save their season. But for the rally of the fans and to show that Josh Allen hasn't, you know, lost a step or anything, and he can still win a game for you. Yes, this was definitely something that to prove to the fans, like, hey, we know that Superman Joe Burrow is on the other side of the field, but hey, we got our own guy right here. So Josh Allen definitely showed how he's won MVP previously in his career, and I mean, he's still in the prime of his career, I feel like. So it's not surprising, but at the same time, it's to me, I just can't get away from the fact that the Bengals lost, to be honest with you. It is so heartbreaking to me.
I told you before we recorded, like, I was so disappointed that they blew it, not because I wanted the Bills to lose, but because I was so entertained with the idea of the Bengals making that run and truly felt like they were going to. I truly felt like the division was theirs. There's number one for Hampton.
Yes, on his way to 36, right?
To not do anything.
On his way to 36 points.
To not do anything. That's not good for me.
We're going to break him in by giving him 6 touchdowns today, boys.
Okay.
Ease him back into the format.
I am so close to making the playoffs in one of my leagues, as long as Omarion Hampton and the Chargers doesn't go balls to the wall and score like 36 fantasy points, but he just
that was a catch too. That's an extra point.
Shut up. You shut your mouth.
Oh man.
But yes, I super disappointed for the Bengals because I really thought that they were going to run the table.
Yeah.
And I have zero faith in the Ravens or the Steelers. And quite honestly, their defense the last few weeks and including yesterday were playing better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you give up 18 points to the Bills with 8 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win that game.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously one of the interceptions was a pick six, and then literally Burrow's next throw was a deflection that was intercepted. I think they took over on the 25 or 30 yard line. So the Bills had a short field there. So you really can't even blame the defense.
Yeah.
I know they ended up scoring 39 points, but you know, I would honestly say take away 14 off of the responsibility of the defense.
Yeah, holding
realistically. And so
holding the Bills to like 25 points, you take that all day.
You take that all day.
Yeah.
Especially with that defense. So
yeah.
Super disappointing for the Bengals. I think personally, I think that's all she wrote for them. As far as their division chances. And for the Bills, it sets up this next week, actually, I still think is relevant. And that's why I really felt like this win was so crucial, because now they're 2 games back going into New England.
Yeah.
With 4 games left. So you win this week, you're a game back, anything can happen. They have a legit shot at winning the division still.
Mm-hmm.
But you lose that game, you're down, you're back 3 games, forget it.
Yeah, it's wild card.
So, you know. We'll see. It sets up a really interesting game on Sunday, but I felt like I feel like the Bills stole that game yesterday.
For sure.
And they needed to.
Yeah, no, you could feel the urgency from the Bengals, to be honest with you. This is what happened kind of last year when they kind of went on that run to try to make a playoff push. And you felt the same energy when Joe Burrow came back this year. So it is very disheartening to see it happen, you know, 2 games into Joe Burrow's return and they lose, and all of a sudden they're guaranteed a losing record, and that just puts you in a predicament you don't want to be in. But for the Bills, this was something, if they want any sort of concept of home field advantage, or you know, hosting the first game, they needed that win for sure. I mean, being a wild card and being 2 games the top wild card right now, and being 2 games behind the Patriots with going to New England this week, I mean, it's there for the taking if you're the Bills, but it starts with New England this week. So where they goes, I don't know, but I mean, New England's perspective, you can wrap up the division this week, to be honest, on the other hand.
100%.
So both teams are going to have something to play for, but yeah, Bills winning this game just sets it up, even makes it even more juicier, I feel like, this week.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, what do you got?
So my top story is Shador finally being named QB1 of the Cleveland Browns. It's finally happened. Kevin Stefanski has given in.
I feel like he hates him.
He probably does.
I feel like he hates him. I don't understand why.
Two-point play? Like, hey.
It makes no sense.
Like, let's take out our quarterback that just threw for 364 yards, and let's put it in the hands of our backup running back or Samson or Judkins, whoever it was. I think
it was Judkins.
Was it Judkins? Yeah. And then they forgot to pitch back.
Yeah, what an idiot. He literally looked back like, oh, crap.
Like, wait a second.
I forgot.
Like, that dude just flew. Like, you're the guy I'm supposed to be passing it to.
Come back here.
Yep. Whoops. So it's insane to me to watch that play happen. I mean, yeah. There's a reason the Browns are in the position that they are, and there's a reason Stefanski's probably going to get ran out of town as soon as the season's over.
He's gone.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. There, I'd be very surprised if he keeps his job. There's for me, there's just no way. But alas, I mean, and this goes hand in hand with the prediction you had about Shedeur Sanders being, you know, the quarterback to start for Cleveland next year.
Yeah.
You know, their week one starter. I mean, he's improved every week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's had three. He had three passing touchdowns, only one interception. You'll take that ratio from a fifth round rookie anytime. He ran in for another one. He's found his favorite receiver in Harold Fannin Jr., yep. Another rookie tight end. I mean, he's slinging the ball the way you want a quarterback to sling it. He's throwing it to, he's throwing the screen passes, and Samson's running it through. Jerry Jeudy caught a 60-yard touchdown pass. I mean, what more could you want from a quarterback?
And that was a throw, man.
Yeah.
That deep skinny post or deep in, whatever you want to call it, that Jeudy ran, that throw was right on the money.
Yep. I mean, there's nothing more you could ask from a quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback, let alone a fifth-round rookie quarterback, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where Shedeur is balling out right now, and deservedly so. He's been named the QB1, and I mean, the next four games, they got games against at the Bears, versus the Bills, versus the Steelers, and at the Bengals. I mean, none of those defenses really scare me, to be honest with you. And so this is all setting up for Shedeur Sanders to throw the ball a lot more, especially with some of these offenses like the Bengals, the Bills, and the Bears, where you might have to put up 50 pass attempts, and it's going to be on Shedeur Sanders' arm to kind of try to lead the charge for the Browns to steal a game here and there. But for me, I think he has all the opportunity to really have an impressive rookie season, and to really solidify what the Browns are going to do come draft time, which I don't think is going to be a quarterback, to be honest with you.
So I'm heavily involved, or I shouldn't say involved. I keep an eye on, like, you know, the Twitter fan pages of all the teams that, like, have the high draft picks, and you know, obviously the talk on Jets Twitter right now is like who's going to be in front of them, and are they going to take a QB? And I said, I was talking to somebody today on Twitter, and I said, between the way that Shedeur Sanders is playing and the fact that they already announced, Adam Schefter said that Deshaun Watson will be on the team next year. Mm-hmm. They restructured so that he is going to be back. I think it's becoming less and less likely that they take a QB in the first round, especially if they have, you know, top 2-3 pick, whatever it ends up being.
Right.
So I do think that he's, and I, you know, to your point, I said it a couple weeks ago, that I do think that he's going to play his way into having a legit chance to start next year.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if I said this on the show or if I said it to you, but he has kind of done a complete 180 in my eyes.
Yeah, you said it on the show.
As a person.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching his press conferences, because I feel like the media tries their hardest to paint him as a bad guy.
Yeah.
And when he was in college, I was not a fan. Mm-hmm. I thought he was cocky. I thought he was very arrogant. He came across as an entitled son of a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Is the way that I interpreted what he said. And his press conferences and his responses have been nothing but humble. They've tried really hard to get him to, you know, say something bad about Stefanski, mm-hmm. or the Browns or the play calling or whatever, and he just doesn't do it. I've been very, very impressed with a lot of his answers,
mm-hmm.
and his play, like you said, is only getting better. So I'm happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, and I got into it with somebody on TikTok today.
Oh, no.
Because they went back and they found my Cam Ward is a bust take, and they wanted to know what I thought about yesterday because they won. Here's what I'll tell you. Shedeur, like, tremendously outplayed Cam Ward yesterday.
Yeah, I think Cam Ward went like 14-28.
Not even close. He had, I think, 130 passing yards of the 290 total yards, and Pollard ran for the other 160.
Yeah, it was a Pollard show.
It wasn't even close.
They probably held on to that update check for, like,
marked it. Yeah, and for was five. Like, oh, they finally won.
5 weeks later.
Yeah. the guy commented, "Hey, how about an update?" In all caps.
Right.
And so I clapped back at him. I said, "Dude, he got outplayed. What are you talking about? Like, don't even try." So I, you know,
right.
Very impressed with Shedeur.
Yeah, no, Shador's the guy right now. I mean, as you said, I agree with the sentiment that he came off a little bit strong, you know, during his collegiate career. But I mean, I feel like maybe these weeks as being the QB3 or, you know, going in and actually having to compete for the job is kind of, you know, put his eyes in a different perspective. And I've appreciated how he's turned out on the other side. He's saying nothing but the right things. He's playing well. And to me, I feel like he's learned how to be an NFL quarterback. And whatever head coach takes over for Stefanski next year, which I'm at 99.9% certainty that's going to happen.
I agree. I wouldn't even be surprised if this announcement is ownership saying, dude, you got to start him.
Yeah.
We got to know what we have.
Right.
And Stefanski, like, begrudgingly was like, okay.
It's like, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, like, whatever coach is going to come in with a QB that has a multitude of skill sets, you know, he can run, he can pass, and he's developing a repertoire with, you know, your future, which is Harold Vadden and Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku as well. So I think Shador is on the right track for sure.
Agreed.
Yep. And then my second one, it actually deals with the Bengals because this is down and out more. Trey Hendrickson is now out for 6 weeks. He's going to have core muscle surgery.
Yeah.
So this is even worse news for defense that is reeling right now. Like we talked about with the Bills and the Bengals, and this is why I couldn't get off the Bengals to save my life, because I'm on the same boat as you. I wanted them to run the table. I felt like they would have been that team that no one wanted to face in the playoffs.
I was literally just going to say that. Yeah. Nobody would have wanted to play them.
Yeah. Like if you're the Broncos or the Patriots, you know, if you're one of those top two seeds and you see Joe Burrow and the Bengals coming off, you know, just ran the table to make the playoffs, I would be looking the other way, to be honest with you. So, but to lose Trey Hendrickson, to even lose like the focal point of your defense, he got the franchise tag this year and he's going to be a free agent. I mean, this also,
yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. This also bodes kind of, you know, in the same realm of Daniel Jones. I mean, it's not to that extent. He should be ready by training camp and all that good stuff, but Trey Hendrickson is basically probably already played his last game for the Bengals, and this has longer term issues, especially with the contract, you know, like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow have signed there with the Bengals. I mean, all of a sudden you're gonna be trying out rookies, to be honest with you, over on the defensive end, because you got no money, you got no cap to sign any other free agents. Trey Anderson was their big fish on the defensive end, on the defensive side, and honestly, that's no longer the case. So this, to me, if it wasn't the Bills game, the Bills loss, so that was a nail in the coffin, I felt like this was.
I think the Bengals are going to win out. They're going to get to 8-9, mm-hmm. and they're going to be one game short.
Just like last year.
I truly think they are,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. Side note, yeah, with Trey Hendrickson, I'll be curious because, I mean, everybody saw the way it happened in the offseason, how it seemed like it almost got personal between him and the Bengals. So I'd be, he's not re-signing. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
It would be.
And I'd be shocked if they put the franchise tag on him again.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Especially coming off.
They want that headache. Yep. So I think he's gone. I'll be curious to see. I've not heard this. I have no reason to believe, but like, do they consider trading T. Higgins?
Oh, I would.
I would too. I would in a heartbeat. Yeah. Or quite honestly, one of the receivers I would consider trading.
Ooh, Jamar Chase as well. Ooh.
Because Chase, you're getting multiple first round picks.
Yeah.
T. Higgins, I think you're getting a first round pick.
Yeah.
And you completely reset your cap by, you know, trading one of them, and then you have 30 what? They're each getting $30+ million a year,
mm-hmm.
that you can invest on your defense. Yeah. That to me is something that I'm going to be watching this year, because I know they literally both just got paid. They very clearly have to do something on defense. And so it would not surprise me if one or not both of them,
no.
if one of them gets dealt.
Right. Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. They have the assets, obviously, offensively. What they do
offense
there.
Offense is not the problem.
Yeah, offense is. I feel like ever since Joe Burrow has been there, offense has never been the problem. It's always been about the defensive side. So where they go from here, obviously, you lose your star defensive end on Trey Hendrickson. Honestly, I can't. I couldn't even name you who they have secured as a spot on the defensive side of the ball next year. To be honest with you, it's going to be a lot of positional battles come training camp. It's going to be great to see. At the same time, you got to be skeptical if you're a Bengals fan, because I feel like these 8-9, 9-8 sort of seasons are going to be pretty consistent.
It's going to be more of the same,
yeah.
Unless they make a big change.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
All right. Overreactions. You got any this week?
Overreactions. I mean, this is less of what I want to happen and more of like what I was seeing in terms of body language. And this is Travis Kelce's going to retire. I think it's you can just see it in his face.
Yeah.
Coming
he's got
off
too much else going on.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna get married to a billionaire. It's time to hang it up, my man. I mean, you're living the good life.
Trophy husband.
I mean, he's 36 years old and he had a catch for 8 yards. Yesterday, Sunday night against Houston. I mean, that's a great defense you're going up against. Obviously, he had that drop and that led to an interception to kind of seal the game. Yeah, I mean, one of three interceptions that Patrick Mahomes threw. To me, Travis Kelce hasn't had, you know, a terrible season by any means. But at the same time, I feel like I haven't seen that sort of fire in him. I know he yelled at Andy Reid early in the year when they were struggling, but I feel like there's been a certain tipping point with Travis Kelce where he's just like, you know what? I think I've done everything I could do in the sport, and I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him at all.
It wouldn't shock me in the least.
No.
If he makes that decision. Now, he is a huge competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you could very easily see him saying, hey, I ain't going out like this.
Yeah, him and Mahomes.
Correct. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but that would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah, it was just an overreaction from, you know, just seeing his body language yesterday.
For sure.
Well, that's about it.
All right, so I have one.
Okay.
This is going to be, let me see how I want to word this. If the Bills don't make the Super Bowl this year, because of the path that they have, it'll be the biggest disappointment in Josh Allen's career.
Because of the path that they have.
So hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Who has he played almost every year? A combination of Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
right? As of right now, none of them are going to be in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's what I mean by the path. He is going to be playing young, unestablished quarterbacks. Obviously, he doesn't play them. He plays the defense, blah, blah, blah. I get that, right?
Right.
But as far as who's on the other side, who he has to worry about, he's going to be going up against guys like Drake May, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud. He's going to be
Keep up with you?
Correct.
If you're Josh Allen, can they keep up with
correct.
Him?
Correct. Yeah. And so I know odds are they're going to have to go on the road and win three games, but as far as just the stars that he has had to play in the past,
mm-hmm.
it's no contest.
Yeah.
It's no contest. This should be, on paper, the easiest path to the Super Bowl for the Bills this year.
I agree with that. I mean, this is kind of like Hakeem Olajuwon and the Rockets back when Michael Jordan retired. Obviously, Michael Jordan, I'm referring to as Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes isn't going to make the playoffs probably this year. And so that's your Michael Jordan right there. That's someone you don't have to worry about. So you have to take advantage of this opportunity as it comes. And because this opportunity probably won't come that often. How the Chiefs are structured and how they're going to be in the future, well, that's time will tell on that one. But, I mean, that's your arch nemesis. That's the guy you could not, you know, overcome in any sort of capacity. I mean, you only accumulate or account for one of those losses that they have, but they're still 6-7, and that's keeping them out of it. So Josh Allen has done his part for the regular season to try to, you know, get them out of the way. But I mean, I agree. If you can go in there in the playoffs and you don't have, you know, the three-headed monster of Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, and
you don't have to play any of them.
Yeah, you're challenging these inexperienced playoff-wise quarterbacks. I mean, this is, you're looking at your chops if you're Josh correct. Allen. If I'm Josh Allen, at least, like these guys are the teams that they feasted on come playoff time outside of, you know, Kansas City. So to me, yes, this as soon as the playoff format is set and you don't see Kansas City on there, and then Baltimore and and whoever else, you should be like, yes, this, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to win all three of those, and then we're going to go play whoever in the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
You have to take advantage of your opportunities. The best comparison I can think of off the top of my head is baseball. But last year when the Yankees made the World Series, it's because they got lined up against the Royals and then the Guardians. Yeah. Right? The Astros got eliminated. The Red Sox weren't in it that year. The Orioles had gotten eliminated by the Royals. And so they literally had the perfect draw.
Yeah.
To the World Series, and they made it, right? They did what they needed to do, and that's what the Bills need to do this year.
Yeah.
They need to take advantage of the fact that more than likely those three teams are not going to be in it this year, and this is the best opportunity you're going
to
have.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You're going to have to look at it. Even if you're a wild card, you're going to have to look at it like you're Goliath. Correct. You're the one who's going to have to stomp around because you're the experienced team.
I mean, think about it. So just real quick, it's going to be Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, Justin Herbert, Allen, maybe C.J. Stroud, and who am I forgetting?
AFC North, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Which is obviously you're not scared of the Steelers right now in any way, especially because they just bolt raced him.
Yeah.
So it's his to lose, man. I truly think if it shakes out that way and none of those three teams make a miraculous comeback, it's the Bills to lose.
Right. Yeah, no. And I mean, if they lose, all of a sudden you're asking if Sean McDermott's the guy, to be honest with you.
Correct.
Like, this is, and I can already picture it. People are going to be talking about this if that's how the playoff format lines itself up. Like, this is going to be the Bills to lose. If they don't come out of it, you're looking at, you know, changes from top to bottom.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. MVP watch.
MVP watch.
Do you have any changes this week?
To my top two, no. I still got Stafford number one and Drake May number two. Drake May's on bye. Stafford put up three more touchdowns. So he's doing his thing. Number three, I took off Jonathan Taylor and
which is crazy
because he had such a hot start.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's sad to think about, but I mean, with the rookie quarterback there now in Indianapolis, I mean, if somehow Indy can roll off some wins here and make the playoffs, maybe I'll take a look at Jonathan Taylor because it's going to run through him. It's not going to go through Riley Leonard or Philip Rivers.
Good Lord.
Yep. So it's going to be Jonathan Taylor. It's going to be his team.
I heard his name or seen him in a highlight
in a while.
In like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He had one TD yesterday. Yeah. And
oh, did he? I didn't even know that.
Yep. All
right.
I got a fantasy alert. That's how I knew.
There you go.
But number three, I put in somebody who I feel like deserves a mention. That's Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I did not see that one coming.
From Seattle.
All right.
I feel like he's kept Sam Darnold elevated in terms of his play. Obviously, last year he had Justin Jefferson, but I feel like Jackson has kind of eased that, sentiment that maybe Sam Darnold couldn't transfer those talents in that 1 year's turnoff that he had in Minnesota. But Jackson Smith and Jigba, I mean, he's been the number one target for Seattle, and it's not even close. I mean, he has 121 targets, and the second most is Cooper Kupp at 53. So you know what they're going to do in terms of the passing game.
Yeah.
He has 89 receptions, 1,428 receiving yards and 9 TDs, which is tied for second in the league. So to me, Smith and Jigba has done everything to be a true number one and be a top five pick probably in next year's fantasy football draft. So to me, I think he deserves his flowers, even if it's, you know, being third on my list of MVP watch.
Yeah. Some might even call him a preseason fantasy must-have.
Who would that be?
That would have been me.
Ooh, boy.
Not going to toot my own horn, but toot. But yeah, no, I think that's an interesting one. I don't know that he'll get any votes just because of the debate we always have. I feel like if it's ever going to be a non-quarterback, it seems like people are more apt to take a running back than a receiver because obviously
the
receiver is having a great year. That means they have a good quarterback throwing to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like what comes first, the chicken or the egg conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm right there with you. I think what he's doing has been phenomenal. My fantasy team has been loving every minute of it. Number one seed, by the way. And so, I think he's deserving of at least having his name thrown in the conversation. For
absolutely.
Sure. So I also made some changes.
Okay.
I kept Stafford number one.
Mm-hmm.
I also removed Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
And Drake May had a 1 week stint on my list, and he's gone. So
those zero completions and correct, zero yards and zero
points. He had a really bad week this week. Take a bye week and you get thrown off my MVP watch list. So number two, this is who I thought you were going with.
Okay.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
So he's quietly, maybe not so quietly if you're a Packers fan or an NFC fan, but the last 2 weeks especially, Thanksgiving against Detroit, yesterday against their biggest division opponent in the Bears, having great games. His stat line yesterday, 17 of 25, 234, three touchdowns, one interception. He had a 120 rating. And Christian Watson coming back for him has been a revelation.
Yeah.
It seems like the Packer offense now runs through those two, Watson and Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
He's been making all the throws. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know I saw it this morning. His numbers, what he did yesterday against the blitz from Chicago was like, I think he was, I want to say he was like 18 for 21.
Cool.
Like just stupid numbers against the blitz. So they threw a ton of pressure at him. It didn't matter. He played outstanding, and I really think that if they're going into Denver this week, arguably top two, top three defense in the league.
Yeah.
If he does it again this week, it's going to get really loud.
Yeah, no, that's going to be definitely a matchup to watch. I mean, I feel like Jordan Love is just quietly just looms around. I feel like he has full control of that offense. Maybe sometimes he sputters and gets a little.
He's still got that Brett Favre in him.
Yeah,
where he's
a gunslinger sometimes.
Correct.
And it sometimes comes out and it bites him. But I've always felt Jordan Love has never needed a high, pass attempt game to really, put up high leverage numbers or high TD numbers, because I feel like he puts the ball where it needs to be. He can make long passes to, Christian Watson or, Dobbs or whoever else is they have in their wide receiver room. They have a lot of receivers in that room. And then, I mean, it's just complimentary football with Josh Jacobs and Wilson there in the backfield. It's just the Packers are just one of those teams that they just shout out that they're a well-tuned machine. They're well-oiled. They don't really do anything that surprises you, really. You just expect them to be really, really good and compete and probably pull off a W. Like that to me, has always been the Packer way, to be honest with you. With Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, they've never really felt like, they were, ever electrifying. Aaron Rodgers was great during a long period of time, but at the same time, I felt like it was more expected. And now I'm starting to reach that level of expectation with Jordan Love and these Packers as well. They're just successful. Like at the end of the day, they just know how to play football. And regardless of who is quarterback, I feel like they just have a way of making quarterbacks stick and creating a scheme and a system that complements what their skill set. Even though Jordan Love, yes, he'll be a gunslinger from time to time, but I think you'll take those hiccups with the good, which is a lot of good. And I feel like as he gets older and gets more experience and more years under him, I can definitely see a Super Bowl in his future, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, your preseason prediction is looking pretty decent right now.
Packers-Broncos?
Packers-Broncos is looking really good. So, and we get a preview of that this week.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So Jordan Love, number two on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Josh Allen back at number three.
Josh Allen.
I feel like the game he had, tell you what, man, when he's on, he's on. There's nobody better.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody better. They have just been too, on some days it seems like their run game is so good that they don't need Allen to be Allen.
Yeah.
But yesterday was one of those days where they did. His stat line yesterday, 22 of 28, 251 yards, three passing touchdowns, to go along with 78 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown.
That's an overall game right there.
That's insane.
An all over the place game.
So, I mean, he's got to be on the list. Even in his off games, he has games like yesterday. He has games like he did against the Bucks, where he had, what was it, three passing, three rushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's all over the field. I think he's got to be on the list.
I don't know. Nope.
Not buying it?
I'm not. I feel like the losses they've had have just exposed the limitations on the Bills' offense, to be honest with you. And yes, Josh Allen is that caliber player. But the problem is, man, if you don't have any sort of, you know, receivers to even complement your skill set, it just makes you look terrible. Because as a quarterback, you're not going to run 50 times as a quarterback and show off your legs. I just feel like the rest of the talent around him kind of hampers his MVP case, which I know isn't, you know, how you're supposed to look at it. But at the same time, everyone does complement each other. And Josh Allen, I don't know, sometimes it just feels like he if the receivers don't have any space and, you know, the defensive line is like at him and not giving him any space to scramble, he starts getting into trouble. And I feel like it's those games where he's kind of susceptible of maybe trying to force the ball a little bit more than you'd want to, and maybe throwing, you know, a not wise pass, I suppose. So it is what it is. I think he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
I think he's top two quarterback in the league, if not, and he's probably not number two, to be honest with you. So to me, he's great. It's just one of those things where I feel like these other guys have kind of established themselves as, you know, this is my career year, especially for Stafford.
It's just so curious to me, and that's why I absolutely love this debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because literally as you're sitting there talking,
mm-hmm.
I've had Stafford number one on my list
mm-hmm.
all year. Since people started really talking about MVP this year.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm sitting here thinking about it, and you're talking, and you're shaking your head, who's more valuable to their team than Josh Allen? Who's more valuable to their team than Josh Allen?
Mm-hmm.
I would say nobody.
Yep.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right? Patrick Mahomes, best player of the game. Call him like the equivalent of Michael Jordan. I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the only one.
Yeah.
Which that contradicts what I've always said about MVP and having Stafford first. Stafford is having a better season,
yeah,
hands down, no question about it. But is he more valuable to his team than Josh Allen is to the Bills? I don't know. I don't think so. So I'm contradicting myself big time right now.
Yeah, it's a debate to go on, this is where the kind of the overall records kind of. I mean, you don't want to highlight it because it's obviously a team game and your defense plays a big part of it. I mean, your defense is half of your team. But I mean, Stafford has 35 TDs to 4 interceptions. That's not putting your team in a predicament that says, hey, you got a short field. Now you're going to go out there and defend my mistakes. Obviously, I don't have the numbers in terms of what the turnover ratio is with Josh Allen, but I feel like he has a lot more than, you know, 4 interceptions or 4 turnovers overall, yeah, to be honest with you. So putting your defense in certain situations that, you know, put you as a 9-4 team. Yes, I understand. I agree with you. He should definitely be in the conversation. But to me, whether he oversteps, you know, Drake May and Matthew Stafford, I'm not there yet. Maybe if he ends up winning the division
this week, it's going to get loud.
Absolutely.
In New England,
yeah,
it's going
to
get loud.
I would probably put him over Drake May if that happens, to be honest with you. Definitely.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. You heard it here first, people. All right. Power rankings. I have a little bit of a curveball in here, so I'll let you go first.
I don't. So I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
all 5 of my teams won last week, except the Pats, because they were on bye.
That happened to me. Bears. I guess only the Bears lost for me because the Pats were on bye.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, I had the Pats number one, Rams, Broncos, Seahawks, Packers, and they all won, so I kept them all the same.
Okay,
I was like, you
fair
know
enough.
What? Whatever. Easy peasy.
So my top two stayed the same, Seattle and the Rams.
Yeah.
They both won. A couple new additions.
Ooh.
So just destroying the Patriots. They fell off on bye again. So Drake May.
Get him out of here. Why'd you win?
Drake May fell off my MVP list on his bye week. He's off golf and he fell off my MVP list.
Didn't impress me.
The Patriots fell off
here.
My power rankings.
Oh,
get him out of
God.
Here. So at number 3, I put the team that we just spent some time talking about, the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
I feel like they are just quietly going about their business. Nobody's really talking about them. And they're, you know, what are they, 9-3-1 or 10-3-1, something like that.
9-3-1, I believe.
And just have been a very quiet, consistent team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're number three. The Broncos, I kept it, you know, they're still up there at number four. Number five, and this is more about, I think, a team that's just right now how they're playing.
Okay.
The Houston Texans.
The Texans.
So
they've won five in a row, haven't they?
They've won five in a row, and they've knocked off teams with, mind you, they won three with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
They knocked off the Bills. They knocked, who'd they play last week? They knocked off the Colts. They just knocked off Kansas City in Kansas City. Their defense is the best defense in the league. Stamp it. They have the best defense. And so I think the Texans are a team that right now I think they're on the outside looking in. I think they're the eighth seed. But, dude, get him in the playoffs. And if C.J. Stroud can just have an adequate game.
Yeah. He just needs to be average.
Their defense is going to win them almost every game.
Yeah.
So I love everything about the Texans right now.
Yeah, I can't debate that, to be honest with you. Houston is turning their season around for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, what has happened to the Colts, the opposite has happened for the Texans, to be honest with you. Their defense has always been a staple there, especially with, you know, another person who deserves their flowers is Derek Stingley Jr. 100%. That man is just...
D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryans deserves his flowers. I mean, overall, they have a lot of... quiet veteran leadership there that, you know, doesn't stick out and you know, is going to make headlines for saying or doing anything. But overall, they just go in and get the job done. I like Houston. I honestly, if the rookie season C.J. Stroud had, I would have imagined they would be fighting for the number one seed for years to come, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, it hasn't panned out that way, but Houston has always had that certain flavor to them. I like them.
Yeah, and I mean, if you remember weeks 2 through 4 or whatever, we were sitting here every week saying, what is going on with Houston?
Yeah.
And they've
completely, their offense especially.
Yeah, and they've completely figured it out.
Yeah.
So I'm really high in the Texans right now.
Perfect.
All right, we will wrap up as we always do with our picks. I finally came back to reality. and I went 1-2.
Ooh, again back week. To the mean.
So the one that I got correct... Seattle more than covered their 7.5 over Atlanta, which was questionable at halftime. They were tied. but so I got that one right. But the Cowboys let me down. I took them +3 over Detroit, which didn't happen. And then our game of the week, I took the Bears over the Packers.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. Happen. Sorry. Yep. Well, I went 2-1, so yeah, status quo. Yep.
Home, 2-1.
2-1, home. Broncos over the Raiders was my lock. Raiders had a game-losing field goal to end the game.
Conspiracy theory.
It's
there,
a conspiracy.
Golly.
Terrible. How does that happen?
Makes it hard for me to defend the whole NFL and the rigged thing when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, because spread was...
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, spread was 7.5.
You're down 10, and you're kicking a field goal with 3 seconds left?
Yeah.
What's going on? Your kicker needs some work or what? Ridiculous. They cashed the cover and the over with that kick.
Yeah, he could have been, maybe when they look back at the season, be like, we were competitive against the Broncos. It was a one-score game.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, that cost me my lock. It is what it is, I guess. My upset, Texans over the Chiefs. Called that one. Game of the week, Packers of the Bears.
Okay.
Call that one.
All right. So we are doing two games of the week this week.
Yep.
But I'll go over my other picks first. So my lock, I'm taking the Bucs -4.5 over the Falcons. I know the Bucs were less than impressive this week, but they are getting help.
They lost.
They lost. They lost to your Saints.
Powder suck.
And so, you know, they were less than impressive, but they're coming off. They have a short week, short memory, and they're getting Mike Evans back, Tristan Wirfs back, and their other young receiver, who I'm blanking on, he's coming back as well. So they're getting healthy.
Okay.
So I'm taking the and the Falcons, I think, are just a dumpster fire. So I'm taking them. Bucks got to win by 5. I feel good about that.
Confident.
My upset. I didn't, I'll be honest, I didn't really love any of the upsets this week.
Yeah.
And this one, I feel like, is the only realistic option that was left. And I'm taking the Chargers +4.5 over the Chiefs.
Okay.
So don't love that, especially if Herbert is a shell of himself with a broken hand.
He has a touchdown pass right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're fine. But so that's my upset. And then game of the week. So one is Buffalo at New England.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Packers at the Broncos.
Okay.
I'm taking both road teams.
So you're taking the Bills and the Packers.
Correct.
This should be fun.
Take the two opposite teams.
I did take the two opposite teams. Love it. I took the two home teams, the Patriots and the Broncos.
Love it.
I mean, I was literally sitting here before we started filming for like 5 minutes, just like going back and forth in terms of what could happen, and I was not sold on any outcome. I think both of them are going to be highly competitive. I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last sort of games. The Patriots Bills has the last game winning field goal written all over it, to be honest.
I just cannot see the Bills losing both twice. Games to New England. I can't foresee that.
If it was in Buffalo, the games were vice versa. But like I look back at their Week 5 game, and I think. Like what's the difference between these two teams since then? I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's any difference from these two teams since week five. Besides Drake May.
I was just gonna say you can make an argument that Drake May is actually playing better.
Yeah, Drake May is being better. And so that was more like the tipping scale for me, to be honest with you. I don't know. Maybe Josh Allen will find another, have another superhero game. Yeah, but
he's
because I feel like the Patriots are just prepared for that though. Yeah. They've seen
coming
enough
off
of that.
A bye too.
Yep. And then the Broncos and the Packers. This has another game where it's just gonna come down to, a last second field goal or something. And I feel like the Broncos have shown enough to win those games pretty consistently.
Okay. Love it.
Yep.
This will be interesting, he says.
This will be interesting. Yep. And then, but going back to my lock and my upset, my lock, Niners over the Titans, that's a 12.5 point spread.
Oof.
It's very high. I didn't like any of the spreads.
Yeah.
But honestly, if anyone's going to shut down Cam Ward and really ball out like Christian McCaffrey or something, and I feel like the Niners have enough in the tank defensively to really, pressure Cam Ward and really hold that Titans offense to 10 points or less.
Okay.
And then my upset, Bengals over the Ravens.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the Ravens.
What's the spread there?
2.5 in favor of the Ravens.
Interesting.
Yep. So this is, I mean, in terms of the Bengals, if you're Joe Burrow, you don't think you're out yet, even though it's the writing's on the wall almost. But you're going to do everything you can to really try to make that push. So, and the Ravens have been reeling for what, 3-4 weeks now.
Yeah.
It's been sad to see.
Yep.
Yep. So that's it for me.
All right. So four games to choose from next week.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. Jeff will be traveling next week.
Yes.
So we're going to figure out what we're going to do or if we're going to take a break or what's going to happen. But more to come there.
Yeah.
So we wish you, obviously, an awesome trip. We will be back together in Arizona in some form or fashion in a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll post some pictures or something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Watching the
Saints and Jets game.
Stinker of a game. It's a stinker. 3-10 and 3-10. By then, who knows? It'll be 3-12 or something. I don't know.
No, we're both going to run the table.
Yeah. All right. But all right. That'll do it for us this week. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. See you guys.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.